Hi, I'm Priya Bora. We are thrilled to bring to you some of India's unsung health, safety and environment heroes and speakers in the first season of Cool Blue Planet podcasts. If you have an idea you would like to share on this program, tell us about it. Write to us on priya@coolblueplanet.biz. And now, here is our new episode.
Okay, kids. If given a chance to eat anything, what would it be?
Chocolate!
Ice cream!
Hi, Cheryl.
Hi, Priya.
Welcome to my podcast.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
So, I have met dietitians, I have met fitness experts, I have met people who can advise, who are a combination of a few things, okay? But a nutritionist, I have very few friends or I have very few acquaintances who I know. So, why this profession?
I was always very obese as a teenager, okay? I was known to be somebody who's like the fattest girl of the college or the fattest girl of the school. So, I was really obese, I would say morbidly obese.
I wish my podcast listeners see you now.
So, and I was like very happy-go-lucky. I was a complete tomboy and I was taught by my parents, if anyone calls you fat, say I'm not eating your father's ration, you know. So that was it. My parents were both working and they did their best to make sure that, you know, we're fed well, and they made sure that they took us out and they provided us the best. And, you know, there was no physical activity because even at that time, my dad made sure that I had a driver drop me to college or to school. So there was absolutely no physical activity. So we were really obese, even me and my sister. And I remember, you know, when I went to college, so I lost my father when I was 17. This is when I was about to get my 12th standard results. So it was, I think, 10 days for my 12th standard results, and I lost my mother's mother, which is my grandmother, and my father within a span of 10 days. Mm-hmm. So that was a huge blow to the family, and that's why I didn't get into medicine. So I was supposed to do medicine after the 12th, but that wasn't possible because the family was completely, you know, they were like broken. I mean, completely shattered, because imagine for my mother losing her own mother and her husband within a span of 10 days. So when the results came, I went and got admission in the same college that I was. And I still remember the first day of class, there was this combined class, you know, the chemistry class, and 120 students in class. So I knew my classmates, but I didn't know the other classmates, and there was a joint class. And the chemistry professor, you know, he says, "You fatty acid, you stand up." And I was looking here and there, I didn't really. So he said, "We don't pretend, don't you know you're the fattest girl of your college?" And I was like completely shocked. I still remember that day. I remember going down and I was sobbing. I was just crying because I felt very humiliated. I just lost my, you know, I was very close to my grandmother because she was the one who brought me up. So I was brought up by her till the age of 4. And then my father, whom I was very close to. And then this incident happened. So I remember going back home and telling my mom, "I don't want to go to college anymore. I'm feeling extremely insulted. I felt humiliated. I don't want to go to college." And my mom actually sat me down and said that, "You know, why do you want to do this? Who's going to benefit from it?" Okay, he's passed that comment, but don't, I think it's time that you accept it. Yes, you are obese, you need to do something about it, and I think it's high time you do, because it's also affecting your health, because it had started affecting my health in a big way. And that's when I decided, yes, I'm going to do something about it. And I remember that entire year, you know, I gave myself 1 year's time, and I never took any public transport other than the train. So I used to be studying at Pedder Road, you know, which is South Bombay, and from Parel, where I live, I used to actually take the train, but then walk up from home to the station and again from the station to college. And I did that for 1 year. So the only, you know, public transport that I used for that 1 year was the train. Even the diet, you know, though it was not by a dietitian, so I didn't really consult a dietitian. Today, I regret doing that. But I really did my own thing. I really ate less. And I lost 27 kilos, I think, in a span of less than a year, actually. So I was 72 kgs. I came down to 45 kgs or 47 kgs in a span of 1 year. And people could not recognize. I started enjoying the adulation that came my way, because it had completely transformed me. You know, I could wear clothes which I always wanted to wear, and it was my dream to always be slim. So it was good. And the same professor afterwards, he did not recognize me when I went and, you know, went to meet him. And that was, and he said, "Oh my God, what have you done?" And that was my victory day. You know, I was like, "Oh wow, I've achieved something." So basically, when I, you know, went through the same thing myself, and when it came to doing my post-graduation, I said, "Why not pursue nutrition? Because I know how important it is, and I've really gone through it myself. I understand the psychology and the psych of, you know, what you go through as an obese person and what are the challenges we face. And why not, like, take this up as a profession? And that's when I went and did my master's in nutrition.
So when you actually advise that, I can understand that it would be, you would not just advise, you would also have empathy.
Absolutely. I mean, today, as I say, you know, my job is not a job. I enjoy it. It's a passion for me. So I look forward to coming to work every single day. And it's fun because you see people transforming. You see people who are getting, you know, who have borderline diabetes or who are newly diagnosed diabetes, reversing diabetes. And you see people, you know, I mean, I have got people who've lost 60, 70 kilos and they're like completely new person. And they enjoy it. Even being a small part to that kind of transformation, I feel very fulfilled.
I'm sure they thank you every day.
Absolutely. I mean, today they're very close to me and I'm still in touch with them. So I'm in touch with my clients who've come to me 5 years back and, you know, who've consulted me, and it never ends. So with us, our clients are always in touch with us. And it's great because you get to interact with so many people. You get to, you get to know about so many people's lives. And
who's your youngest client?
Oh,
you have a
I have. Yeah, so, you know, one thing about what we do is, what's really something that's very close to my heart is what we do with children with type 1 diabetes. So we have a lot of children who consult us. So, you know, you have people with type 2 diabetes and you have the children who get type 1 diabetes, which is an autoimmune condition. And the youngest child that I've seen in my clinic is 18 months old with type 1 diabetes. So, and they have to take insulin shots. So they take 4 to 5 insulin shots a day. They have to check their sugars. And I'm telling you, there I really, really, you know, feel for the parents, because for them it's a 24/7 job. I mean, we sleep at night. These parents don't sleep at night because they have to wake up in the middle of the night to check the child's sugar. And I'm telling you, it's extremely humbling. It's very humbling because, you know, you stop complaining about your life. I'm telling you, I always tell people who complain about silly things, I'm like, you need to go and meet these people because they have challenges, but you'll still see them smiling and, you know, dealing with those challenges in a very positive manner. And I think that is also very satisfying. I've really transformed even as a human being in that sense, because I started really thanking God for all the blessings. Yeah. I don't complain anymore because I've really seen, we see parents, you know, I've got a mother who's, you know, she, her husband doesn't work, the child has got diabetes and she commutes to work. It takes her 4 hours to reach work, changing, you know, 3 modes of travels that she uses. So she has, I think, 2 or 3 trains that she needs to change, and then there's a bus to work, and then evening again, 4 hours travel back, and then working for those 8 hours Monday to Saturday, and she wakes up at 4, she sleeps at 2, you know, so she's barely sleeping for 2 to 3 hours.
So you're consulting these parents for how they should manage the kids, but are you also then, because of the empathy that you share with the fact that the parents have such tough lives, do you also kind of help them in terms
absolutely
of how they should be?
I'll tell you, it's more about counseling. I think our job is that it's less diet and it's more about counseling, because they come and vent out. They come, you know, the first session with us, they're only crying because for them to accept their child has got diabetes now, and you know, they have to be on insulin injections lifelong, they have to keep pricking themselves, they have to monitor what they eat. Imagine, we, if I have to eat a burger or if I have to eat a, you know, anything, I don't have to think, but imagine this child has to think, okay, I'm eating a burger, this has got so much of carbs, I need to take so much of insulin for it, because if I don't take enough insulin, my sugars are going to be high. So for them, every time they check their sugars, it's like a report card, which may not be good. And you know, the mother will scold, because obviously it's a lot of emotional trauma for the mother as well, you know, because when she sees a high blood sugar, she's not happy about it and she's alarmed because it can affect the child. And then what happens is her reaction, the child sees, and then you know what happens. So it's very difficult actually.
So do you also help her? So when you counsel her, you're counseling her on how she can cope with the problem first. You're helping her spot the child's nutrition, but are you, then you're also probably helping her deal with the problems at school.
Absolutely.
And
at school, at home, because you can imagine when you tell your relatives this child has got diabetes, you know, the kind of advice that comes, the sympathy that comes, and who needs that sympathy, you know? So I keep telling them, I'm like, tell people who are relevant. You can tell the school teacher, you can tell the child's coach if the child is doing a sport, but you don't need to randomly go and tell people because their advice may not really be useful, and we don't need that sympathy.
And then do you help them create a support group?
Yes, we do. So for type 1 diabetes, we have a support group in place and we have a lot of WhatsApp groups, and we're constantly in touch with our children.
And they meet?
Yeah, we do. So we have have launched the Nurture Health Academy now, where we regularly keep, you know, having these sessions with patients or clients, and then we keep doing different kind of updates. At least they meet, you know, there's a lot of interaction. So suppose somebody's facing a challenge and somebody's doing well in that area, mm-hmm. then there's a lot of peer support that comes in. So it's really nice.
Do you have like lots of patients in that category? Or?
We do. In fact, I think our clinic's known for consulting children with diabetes. So a lot of doctors, a lot of pediatric endocrinologists, or even by word of mouth, the children come here, and it takes us close to 2-2.5 hours with each child. Because as I said, and they come with their families. So you'll have the grandmothers, the grandfather, husband, wife, and the child. So everybody comes and they have their questions. And sometimes what happens is when they meet doctors, you know, they would love to answer questions, but they don't have enough time. So they look forward to that session with us where they can actually ask their questions, get their queries solved. So basically we give them that kind of time. So that's one area that we work with closely.
And then is the child sitting here and listening?
Oh yeah. So initially, yes, the child is sitting, because see, there's this whole law, you know, I think that everyone thinks when they're going to go to a nutritionist, you know, there's this assumption that she's going to stop my food and she's going to tell me that, okay, as I tell them, you know, I know you come here with the thing that you're going to get only ghas poos, you're not going to get food, you know. So that's the usual assumption. So even our people who want to lose weight, they come to us after having gone for a buffet in the night, or they'll have two vada pavs or samosas, and then they come to us because they say, okay, now she's going to stop my food, you know. So that's usually the case. That's what they, you know, they come with that kind of a pre-assumption. And so that's why we like children coming here. So we encourage that, is because then we ask them what they like to eat, and, you know, we tell them what they can eat, so that you should see the smile on their face. It's really, I mean, it's lovely. And then we keep the child occupied. So we also have, you know, people outside who are actually sitting with the child and painting and doing a lot of activities. So we keep them engaged. So, but we encourage the children to come here because we want them to understand that, you know, you can enjoy food, and we don't really restrict on anything for these kids.
So let's talk a little bit about all the fabulous work you're doing with the various agencies across India, the fun work you're doing for people who are wanting you to come for roundtables to educate them, for the huge number of doctors and others in the medical fraternity who need to be, you know, coached. What all is happening in that spectrum?
So basically, that we have a retail model where we see patients in our clinics, but we also have a huge corporate model in place where we actually work with corporates, you know, pan-India. Mm-hmm. So we work with corporates trying to improve the health and well-being of employees. Because today, if you look at a person who's working in a corporate office, unlike the past, there is an in-time, but there's no out-time. They're working and there's a lot of mental stress, very little physical activity. Eating has become, you know, unhealthy, and there's a lot of access to unhealthy food, and as a result of which we have a lot of employees who come and tell us that, you know, when I joined this office my weight was so much, but now my weight has increased, or I've got diabetes, especially with our people who work through the night. So you have the call center, you know, employees BPO. Working yeah, yeah so yeah. The BPO, so they, and we see a lot of prevalence of hypertension, diabetes, deranged cholesterol levels in these individuals, and they don't even know about it. That's the unfortunate part. Sometimes you just do a random screening, and they do it because their company has, you know, asked them to get themselves screened, or even pre-employment or for an insurance policy. It's at that time that they get to know that, oh, I've got diabetes, because it's a silent disease.
There is no symptom.
The most common symptom of diabetes is no symptom, but there are symptoms. So you have weight loss, you have excessive urination, excessive thirst, excessive hunger, but most often we see people have no symptoms at all. I mean, you check their blood sugar levels, it's 400 300, and you know, they are amazed to see that. I mean, they're shocked to see that kind of report. So I think these people need a lot of help, and I think corporates are now waking up to the fact that they really need to do this, because it'll help them improve productivity. I think it's like a value add, and they really are concerned about their employees today. They definitely want to have people who are more healthy. And as we say that even diabetes today, you know, first we used to say people with, you know, who get diabetes after the age of 60, 65. But today, if you ask me, I'll say there's no age to get diabetes. I have the youngest child with type 2 diabetes in my clinic who's 6 years old. Yesterday I had a child in my clinic who was in the 9th standard.
childhood and 96 kgs with pre-diabetes. So this is what it is. Because parents are working, the children are with the maids, and there's a lot of ordering out. I mean, today, you know, just at the touch of your, you know, at the click of a button, and you can order food, and all that you order is a pizza, burger, fried rice, and all the unhealthy food. So these children, no activity because there's so much of homework. So they are becoming targets for these lifestyle diseases. And I think it's something that we are sitting on a ticking bomb. We really need to do something about it. Yeah, so to tell you a little bit of Nurture Health Solutions, it's a true health and well-being company which offers niche comprehensive health and wellness solutions both to corporates as well as individuals. And in the last 5 years, we've managed to work with many leading corporate houses, and it's been a beautiful journey because we're actually helping, as I said, transform lives of people who are working with these corporates. And I think it's very important because we're trying to at least make people conscious about, you know, taking care of their health and living a better quality of life. We're also working closely with the government, so I've written the food guide for Mumbai, and that's on the website of the MCGM, and also as a part of the Indian Dietetic Association committee member, I'm also spearheading a project called Beat Diabetes, where we're actually placing diabetes educators at each of these dispensaries, you know, the MCGM dispensaries, okay, where people with diabetes come and get counseled. Because so basically we're doing this pro bono, so at least it's like I'm consulting them pro bono, but I think it's a very satisfying thing because yes, the people who can afford definitely get service, but it is these people from the lower socioeconomic class who really need to understand the importance of taking care of their health, because if you really don't take care of health, you're going to land up with complications, and complications can be as serious as, you know, as you undergoing, you know, either a kidney transplant if your kidneys get damaged, or even a bypass surgery, which can be very costly. And I think it's very important to educate these people as well, so we are doing that from, you know, the government service that we do. I'm also a faculty at SNDT College, which is SVT at Juhu, where I'm actually teaching. I'm a faculty for the postgraduate, so the master's course, which is specializing in diabetes and cardiac care. And that's also a very satisfying job for me because you're interacting with a lot of fresh young minds who really want to learn. And I think it keeps learning an ongoing process for you because you need to get updated. It's very nice because you're actually meeting these people, you're teaching them, and you're hoping that they will now become, you know, people who will also go and educate more and more people and, you know, at least try and transform more lives.
I've seen you do a lot of travel in India. You also travel abroad. What do you do?
Yeah, for India, yes, because we have a lot of these corporates which are, you know, scattered in different parts of India. So you have a lot of these corporates in Hyderabad and Delhi, Bangalore. So we go and we actually address employees. We do these workplace wellness programs for employees. That's what we do, as well as conferences. So there are regular conferences and updates happening in the field of nutrition, diabetes, etc., where we go and actually address doctors and, update them on the recent advances of nutrition. Because I think that's very important, because the first touch point for any patient is his doctor, and he always thinks that the doctor will know and guide him on his diet, which may not always be the case because the doctors would have studied maybe 10, 20, 30 years back, when, and so much is changing in the field of nutrition. Every day there's, you know, so much of research that is happening, so much of scientific evidence that is being generated, and I think it's very important for us to go and reach out to more and more doctors and tell them that, you know, there are new advances, and you really don't need to tell patients not to eat certain foods, but you have to tell them about what to eat and how much to eat. I think the most important thing, at least in India, is portion control. So that is the kind of messaging that we try and convey to, you know, people that we meet, whether it's, you know, whether it's your lay people or even whether it's your medical professionals, your healthcare professionals, etc. And I do go for conferences even outside India because we're again training. So I see a lot of need, especially in the, you know, the Arabic region. So I'm a part of the faculty for the ASPED, which is the Arabic Society for Pediatric and Endocrinology, where we actually go and train doctors from the Middle East. So you have doctors coming in from Palestine and Syria and Muscat and, Libya. So there are a lot of places. Again, these doctors come in and they also need to be trained on, you know, nutrition and the advances. So it's a very satisfying job because it's really nice because you also get to learn about what they are doing and try and imbibe, you know, some of the good things that they are doing into your practice and try and share. So there's a lot of sharing and learning that happens in the process. So that's very interesting because it also adds a lot of value to your practice as well.
one question that always comes to a lot of our mindset. Is Indian diet as rich as any the diet in the West? Do we consider ourselves any good in terms of the kind of food menu that we are serving today at home?
Right. I think traditionally our diet has been very good. You know, if you look at it, even though our grandmothers really didn't study nutrition, I think they knew the science of nutrition and they did apply it into their cooking. But unfortunately today, I think we are getting more and more westernized. We are trying to adapt a lot of habits from the West, and that's affecting us in a big way. And that's why we're seeing such high numbers of people with obesity, diabetes, cardiovascular problems. I think it's time that we actually go back to our roots and start eating like our grandparents ate. Stop eating out of packets. I think that's the biggest problem today, because everybody, it is tough, but I think it's very important. I'm not saying that don't do it at all, but I think there should be, you know, you can't do it every day. You have to learn to balance, you know. And I think our home food, you know, even if you look at the thali concept, you know, today, if you see in 2011, Michelle Obama actually introduced the food plate, which is the healthy food plate. And I think it's very similar to our thali, which is our Indian thali, wherein you have a cereal, you have your pulse, you have your vegetables, and you have a dairy group. So we always had curd in our meals or buttermilk in our meals. Today, what are our children eating? They want to eat a wrap, they want to eat a burger, they want to eat chips. So where's the nutrition? So though we say that, you know, I would say we're still undernourished, and not undernourished in the sense. So you will have an obese child who's still undernourished because he's not eating the right kind of food, which is going to give you any kind of, you know, nutrition. So it's very important for us to educate parents. One is, I think even when you're eating out of packets, it's important to read food labels. And I think FSSAI is doing a great job in terms of educating people that, you know, with the Eat Right movement, you know, where they're trying to tell people at least eat thoda sa kam. So it's about the thoda sa kam. So we're not saying don't eat, but at least look at how much you're eating. I think that's the first point that we need to focus on. Secondly is, I think this whole concept of the plate is beautiful. And if we can stick to that, I think it's great. I think another thing that I tell my people is, do what you can do till you go to the grave. Don't do anything which is like a short fix. I know a lot of people who come to us and say that, you know, I want to lose 10 kilos in a month, I want to lose 20 kilos in a month. But is that sustainable? And why do you want to punish yourself? You know, let it, you've not put on that weight in a month, right? You've taken years to put on that weight and you didn't realize it. How can you lose it in a month? And is that good for you? It's not at all good for you. And don't do anything that you can't do in the long run. Yeah, so do something which is sustainable. And that's the kind of advice I would always want to give people, is because that's important. You know, at the end of it, it's not about weight loss. It's about being fit. It's about being healthy. And it's about having a very healthy environment inside your body. And I think that is something that we need to address.
When are we going to see a book coming out for corporate women?
I already have a book called Healthy Women, Happy Lives, because I truly believe in it. And I keep telling women, you know, especially when I talk to women, I tell them that you don't understand how important you are and how important your health is. Because when we ask women, you know, especially when we take a recall or when we try and understand the diet of a woman, her first meal of the day is often at 9, 9:30, 10, especially a housewife.
Yes.
And you ask them why, and they'll say, no, you know, we're so busy. We get up in the morning, we're making a dabba for the child, then it's my husband's breakfast time, then it's like seeing him off with a dabba. So then, you know, I get free only after 9:30, 10, and that's when her first meal is, when she's actually woken up at 5 in the morning. So I'm like, can't you take 5 minutes and just have a fruit and a few nuts? I mean, that is the simplest thing you can do. And I think we women really underestimate our role, you know, because we are the backbone of the family. Something happens with the woman, I think the family is completely distraught. They don't know what to do. So our husbands, our kids, our family really depends on us. So I think it's very important for us to prioritize our health. And you know, it's not selfish to take out that 1 hour out of 24 hours for yourself to work out. And that's something, because they tell us, where's the time? But I think if you do good time management, taking out that 1 hour is not difficult.
I think I love it. So this book focuses on
it talks about women. Yeah. So it talks about housewives. It talks about everybody. I think everyone, because I think being a working woman has its own challenges.
But you know, working women, I find that at least they now understand that I have to be healthy. I can't be absent at work.
Absolutely.
So they will take care. But I love it that you're at least talking about the housewife, because I feel that nobody ever tells a housewife, come sit.
Absolutely. It's a thankless job.
It is. And I remember, I don't think I ever asked, you know, anyone at my, when I was growing up, I never told my mom, come sit down with us for a meal.
I know.
Mom was serving me chapatis.
I know.
But I never told mama, sit down, let's all eat.
Absolutely.
So we don't do that. And I see a lot of households in India who don't do that.
Telling the housewives, I salute them. I find their job the most difficult because one is it's a thankless job. And you know, people ask them, what do you do the entire day? And there's so much to do. I feel it's better to come to work because you still have your mind. Yeah, absolutely. They enjoy doing it.
No, but come on, there's no public holiday. There is no getting away.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you're always supposed
to be. So that's what I always tell women. I said it's not selfish. I don't think, you know, taking a break is, you know, it's good because you're rejuvenating. You're a happy person because I think it's very important that when we are as a family, it's always nice to, you know, make sure that the family is, you know, there's a lot of happiness. What's the point of you being unhappy and you passing on a lot of negative vibes to your family? You know, you're cribbing the entire day. Then that's not good, right? So it's very important. And I think the only way to get that is one is to take care of yourself, be fit, you know, and have that kind of energy which helps you to go on, you know. So because it's very important. For that, it's important to take care of yourself. So we wrote this book called Healthy Women, Happy Lives, and it got a great response from all corporates. So, you know, on March 8th, which is celebrated as Women's Day, a lot of corporates have given this to their employees.
Oh, nice.
So this is a book which is actually focusing on different decades of life. So right from, you know, from the age of 10, 20, 30, so at each decade of your life, how,
oh, nice,
you know, it changes and what you should take care of. And then we've picked up 10 superfoods, you know, from your kitchen. So we're talking about inexpensive foods. We're not talking about expensive because today you have everything which is a superfood and some of them are really exorbitantly expensive, not easily available. But simple things in my kitchen, like maybe a cinnamon or a rajma, you know, or something which is as simple as methi seeds or a flax seed, which is regularly used in our Indian household cooking. Can I use that for my health benefits? You know, so we've actually mentioned those superfoods and we've given a recipe on how to incorporate those superfoods in our diet.
Wow, that is so
and
cool.
It's really, I mean, it's got a fantastic response.
When did you publish this?
I think it was 2-3 years now.
Two, 3 years, you come up with a second edition?
I am planning to, but you know, yeah, I'm working on one for, you know, basically on diabetes. And because that's one core area that we specialize in, and I see a lot of myths around this. You know, can I eat mango? Can I not eat mango? Should I have rice? You know, so there's a lot of myths around this and people keep asking us. And today, thanks to WhatsApp forwards and people who are unqualified, you know, practicing as, I think that's another area of concern for us because you have a lot of unqualified people practicing as nutritionists. So you've lost 100 kilos, you become a nutritionist. You're a gym trainer, you're a nutritionist. You're selling some herbal supplement, you call yourself a nutritionist. So we have a lot of challenges there because I'm not against them completely, but yes, but are they qualified? Because what if you have a clinical condition? You should, you know, consult a qualified person and check the credentials. I think that's another area of concern, you know, for us, at least in India. We're seeing a lot of people.
Okay. Where do you see yourself going with Nurture?
I, at the moment, I'm just enjoying what I'm doing. I'm enjoying interacting with more people, getting more clients. And I definitely see myself in the next maybe 5 to 10 years, definitely having more clients and empowering more women because our organization, again, has a lot of women employees. I think we are, I would say, 99% women employees.
Awesome.
Yes. And as a woman, I think it's very important that I help them enjoy work and they're able to work. So we have women working from home as well, you know, because they want to earn some money and be independent.
Oh, really?
So we have a lot of women working from home as well for us. And and that's what's really satisfying because I'm able to generate more jobs, more employment, especially for women. And I think we're like a good family today. We understand and, you know, we really support each other. And that's really nice. So I would definitely look at, you know, growing as a company, having more women, you know, employees, empowering more women, and definitely reaching out and transforming more lives. I think that is what, because I think that's the need of the hour.
That's profound. That is even beyond CSR, beyond diversity. It's a different level of thinking, Cheryl. Do you want to leave my listeners with any last thoughts on nutrition? Because
as I said, you know, just don't fall to these, prey to these fad diets. I think do first ask yourself, can I do it? And can I do it in the long run? Is it sustainable? Don't do anything which is only focusing on one particular nutrient. Don't remove, you know, like today you have a lot of people who are going off carbs completely, or they're just going high protein, they're going high fat.
Yes.
But what are the long-term effects of these diets? None of us know. So I would say that, you know, please don't be in a rush, and it's not about weight loss. I would really not want to check anyone's weight, because weight is just a number. Focus on inch loss if you're looking at weight loss, because it's about fat loss, and it's also about being more energetic. And I would say stay happy, be thankful, and, you know, enjoy life. I think that's very important, and I would really encourage more and more women to, you know, come out and, you know, explore life. And, you know, don't think that, you know, after marriage it's over for you, or after a child it's over for you. If it's a conscious decision that, okay, you know, I want to enjoy my married life, or I want to stay at home and be a full-time mother, but you should be happy doing it. If you're doing that, great. But otherwise, I would say that it's not difficult. I know it is challenging, but I think it's also more satisfying.
Yes.
And you also have a better life. You interact with more people. You come to work. You're a more cheerful person. You go back home happy. And you're also able to financially support the family. I think that's very important. So I think my message would be that, you know, to all the women out there, please, I would say that, you know, take that step. I know it's difficult, but once you've taken it, I'm sure. And you need any support, I think we're all there. Priya is a working woman and doing it so beautifully. And you're all there to support you.
Yeah, Cheryl, but nothing compares to you on this podcast. I wish my listeners could come see you. Dynamic, young, dashing, and an entrepreneur, and not an easy life, Cheryl. So if you're talking and if you're giving this advice, I think all the listeners should... it's coming from the horse's mouth. What can I say? All the experiences that you have gone through, it's all being shared on this podcast. I love what I heard today. I learned a lot. And I'm sure my listeners have learned a lot too. I want to have you again.
Thank you so much. It'll be my pleasure. I enjoyed in talking to you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Know about others who are working passionately in similar fields? And you want to share their story? Please write to us at priya@coolblueplanet.biz.
Tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I'm a nutritionist by profession with a work experience of more than 18 years now working with the industry. I work primarily with hospitals, with corporates. And on the personal front, I've been married for the last 17 years and I have an 8-year-old boy. I got married very young, actually, and that was at the age of 22, 23, when, you know, I really had no clue of what life has in store for me. But I'm, I think, very fortunate because, as they say, you know, if you really want to do something of your life, you really need to choose a good partner. And I think that is something that I really did right. Mm. And I got a very supportive husband. And when I see most of the people and most of my students actually having to stop work post-marriage, my life actually started post-marriage. You know, in fact, my career really blossomed. And
mine
today, oh, great. So it's very important to have a good partner who's a good companion who's there to support you, to motivate you. And my husband's a doctor, so you know, he's from from the medical field itself, so I think he understands the demands of the profession and he's been very supportive. Even when it comes to my son, we actually had my son pretty late in life, so I had my son after 8 years of marriage. So though I was married at the age of 23, I had my son only when I was 31, because I took my time. You know, I wanted to study, I wanted to do something out of my life in terms of career, and I had a job which involved a lot of travel. So I used to travel like 15-20 days in a month. So that kind of extensive travel, because I was working with Johnson & Johnson, was heading professional education for West India. So that demanded a lot of travel.
Okay.
And I think my husband was very supportive at that point, and that really helped me because I actually did a lot of, you know, I'm very fond of reading. I'm very fond of updating myself. You know, I like to keep busy and keep abreast with what's happening, you know, latest in the field of nutrition at least. And that's why I kept, you know, upgrading myself, and that demanded a lot of weekend studies, weekend classes, etc. But I think he supported me a lot, so I'm very thankful for that.
I'm so glad to hear this. For two things, I know you from a professional standpoint. I've heard about your great work, and we met a year back, so it's been a journey for me to see you from the day I met you in Capgemini to meeting you in your own office here, and to see the number of awards that I can see on your in your cabin. So tell us, how did you decide to take the plunge to become an entrepreneur?
You know, I would say that nothing in my life has happened by accident. It is divinely orchestrated as a part of the plan, and I'm just going with the flow. So if I look back, you know, when I started out, I really didn't know what life has in store for me. But as they say, God has a plan for each one of us, and that's what happened. And I was very happy with a good corporate job. So I was working with multinationals. So I've always worked with, you know, the corporate world. So I worked with Novo Nordisk, I worked with Johnson & Johnson, I worked with a few hospitals.
How many years you worked in the corporate?
So I would say that at least 13 years in the corporate world, And I was very happy with a 9-to-5 job, you know, having a fixed salary coming in. And I think that's the happiest day for any employee, you know, to see salary credited into your account. And I was very happy. And then when my son was born, I had my son in 2009. And that's when I decided, you know, I'm going to, I won't be able to travel as much. And I actually joined a startup at that point of time. I joined that. And I mean, there was a lot of learning over there. It was a fantastic experience as leading a team, as heading operations. But at the same time, the startup really didn't do too well. There were a lot of problems. I think it was a little early in its time. It was into technology. It was into real-time disease management. But I think it was a little early in time, you know. So today we're really talking about health coaching. We're talking about technology using, you know, apps and a lot of things. I think 5 years back, that wasn't the case. Mm-hmm. People were really not ready. And as a result of which, it really didn't work well. And they had to shut shop. So that's what happened. And I think that was a blessing in disguise, you know, because at that time, I really questioned God, like, what's happening? I wasn't too sure about what I wanted to do, you know, and I definitely needed the income because, you know, we again are very self-made. My husband and I have both actually made everything on our own. So, you know, we got the education, but we had to make a house and, you know, we had the EMIs, and there was a lot of pressure in terms of even finances. And I had a boy, so I had a son as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I was contemplating, I had a few offers from the corporate world again. So I was wondering what I should do. And I remember speaking to a friend of mine who's also, you know, one of, you know, somebody who I had worked with in the past. And I remember discussing with him, I'm like, I'm not sure what I want to do. Should I go back to the corporate world, you know, take up a job? And he said, I think you should try to do something on your own, you know, give it a year. If it doesn't work, we're all there, you know, we'll always take you back. So that was something that he told me. And I still remember, I gave myself 1 year, and today it's 5 years and I've not looked back. So I'm very thankful that I actually had that discussion with him, because I was really confused at that point of time.
And it's not easy.
It's not easy because it
easy
meant...
in India, it's difficult. And 5 years back, I don't think women in as an entrepreneur were even seen. We couldn't see many people.
Absolutely.
Like
and they, as they say, you know, that your biological clock and your career clock are always conflicting. Because for me, that was the case. Because my boy was just 3 or 4 years old. And here I was like looking at having my own venture. And it was like having two kids at the same time. So it was extremely challenging. And, you know, only thanks to my husband and my family, I think I could manage to do it. I think what really worked is I, you know, during my job at J&J, I met a lot of people because I traveled extensively. I got to interact with a lot of people. And that was really nice, very enriching. And when I started out my company, which is Nurture Health Solutions in 2013, I think it was only the rich experience that I had. And I really didn't know. I thought I'm just going to set up a clinic and I'm going to see patients. And that's all that I had planned. That's how I started out. And so when I started, I remember I actually went and approached a lot of people. And I thought that, you know, I would have my friends who would help me. So I first went and approached them. I said, boss, see, I'm on my own. And I'm really looking for work because I definitely need to do some good work and I need the money. So for me, it was very important that I also earn money. You know, with a job, as I said, you're very used to a fixed income coming. You know what's happening. You're even, you're paying your overheads, you're paying employees, your salary, you're paying everything. So one is it is completely self-funded. So I've not really taken funds from anywhere. So that meant like the first of the month, you have to pay an EMI amount, you have to pay your rent, you have to pay your salary. So there's a lot of pressure as well that comes in. As I said, since I was starting out, I first decided to approach my contacts for work and I had innumerable meetings with them. I kept following up with them, but I saw that, you know, the help really didn't come in. And I felt very disappointed, yes, because I thought that, you know, I could get help from my friends, etc. But I think what actually helped me and what surprised me was that the help came from unknown quarters. There were a lot of people I really didn't know. I must have just interacted with them briefly due to work or some reason. And I saw that they came all out and supported me. Even today, they, you know, every time I get something or I, you know, I feel that, okay, I've really achieved something, the first call goes to them. I keep thanking them because I think that's very important because they gave me my first business and I think they had faith in me. You know, they had that faith and I think they are my well-wishers because they really wanted me to succeed.
Also, to a large extent, you know, when I try to see a lot of people who are my peers, my friends, it's not necessary that they can have the power that you as an individual have in the context that they operate.
Right.
So sometimes they can't influence.
Absolutely.
And some of the people you met, those were the right guys to influence and take that.
Absolutely. And you know, they came all out in support of me and that was really nice because I think as an entrepreneur, one is that you have to be very optimistic. You cannot think that it's going to fail. You have to have that kind of passion, optimism. And
you have to learn that from you, Cheryl.
I think that's very important. That's what even today keeps me going because I'm a very optimistic person. Because the moment you think that you're going to fail, it's never going to work.
True.
So, you know, that's one thing that an entrepreneur or somebody who's starting out definitely needs to have that trait, you know. One is the passion to drive. It's a 24/7 job. So if you're going to think that, okay, that was a 9-to-5 job, this is not a 9-to-5 job. You're, even once you go home, you're still working. Or you're thinking. I mean, you keep getting different ideas. Like my team tells me that sometimes when I'm working out in the morning, I'll have an idea and then the next thing I'm messaging them, you know, why don't we do this? And it's great because I also like that about my job is also because, you know, you can do a lot of things. You're not really restricted, which happens usually when you're working for a company, which have their fixed things. You can't really, you know, move out of that. But here, I have the flexibility. I mean, there's anything that comes my way. I know, you know, there are things that I wouldn't have even imagined that I would do, and here I'm doing it.
Are you still taking advice from people, or do you take all your decisions independently?
No, I think I take all my decisions independently.
Awesome.
Initially, I did take advice,
okay.
But I think today I've figured out what works, what doesn't work. I do reach out for advice if required, but more or less I try and manage things on my own. And, you know, again, as I said, so even clients today, whomever I'm working with, they've become good friends, and I know that they have my best interest in mind, and I know that for me as somebody who's servicing them, I have to make sure that I give the best quality work. So I think that's working for us. I really don't do any marketing, so there's zero marketing that I do. I don't have a marketing team at all, so it's only because of the quality of work. So you know, we've got one client from another client who's been happy with us, and also that we get repeated business from the same client. I think that talks volumes of your work.